Okay, Mallory, would you mind just telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Mallory Ray, I work at the University of Missouri in the Extension Service. I'm an agricultural economist, and I focus a lot on helping people explore value-added opportunities to sustain their farm business in a range of different ways.
Awesome. So, how did you come to be in that role? What's your experience with that
Sure.
area?
I'm very passionate about farming. I grew up on a small diversified farm in West Central Illinois. Showed cattle, did FFA, and now I live in Columbia, Missouri, a city, the largest city I've ever lived in. And one of the reasons I left the farm is there just wasn't enough work, right? Now, as my parents approach, their 70s, I'll be honest, I too am looking for opportunities to re-engage in agriculture. And I've spent the last 15 years working with producers who are actively in this space. So just extremely passionate about agriculture, and I've seen a lot of success. Not always, right? Farming is hard, nothing is guaranteed. Adding value introduces a lot of risks to a business, but it can also open up some exciting opportunities. And I love helping producers kind of work through what those look like for their situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm sure you see this a lot working with producers across Missouri. There's kind of this question of how do we stabilize and do we diversify? So, how do you walk producers through that conversation of what's the right move and how do we get started?
Sure. A lot of things come down to you've got to know your cost of production. I'm always stressing that. And a lot of people think they do, or they have sort of a loose guess. But it's extremely eye-opening when people sit down and take the time to document it. And it's that fear of sitting down and doing that, and maybe I have to get a computer out and really do it, that holds a lot of people back. But you just don't know what you don't know until you're really looking at your cost of production. There's a lot of optimism in beef cattle right now, but we know that costs vary a lot. And I am not a production economist, so I'm not going to get into a lot of that. But you really, to me right now, if you don't have great access to feedstocks, you might want to just hold tight and focus on improving the basics of your operation. And this is what I kind of call like stabilizing your operation. And for some people, it's not the cost of production, it's the labor constraints, right? So that's another area. So after I move past cost, I want to talk to people about their labor availability and what the goals are for the farm. Because livestock are labor intensive, and certainly diversifying into, direct marketing of beef requires an additional skill set and additional manpower. So let's talk about what the labor looks like for the farm. After that conversation, it becomes a focus on the customer. What's the market? What's the farm? If the farm is really interested in diversification opportunities, which we've seen that a lot here in Missouri, a lot of it is, this starting with selling halves and wholes. Or some people want to jump directly to just selling retail cuts. There's a lot of different ways to do that. We see some people go straight to a website, and those producers have more sophistication. They've got on-farm cold storage. They've got somebody who has that skill set, or they're willing to pay for a skill set to truly stand up a very nice online platform, and they are paying to market their product heavily, right? Other people want to just access customers, through their local networks. They may have access to farmers markets, big or small. And The point I like to make with people is before you make any big decisions, be very realistic. Who is your target customer? What are they looking to buy? What price? That goes back to your cost of production, right? If somebody tells you they're willing to buy $2 hamburger all day long, well, of course they are. But what is your cost of production for that hamburger and your steaks? And really understanding, okay, given where my farm is and my production, what do I think I can bring to market at these prices? We've also seen producers be fairly successful working collectively. So maybe this is part of a broader strategy where there is a CSA, a community-supported agriculture. You may have vegetable growers, maybe an apple grower, and a beef producer kind of joins the mix, and they are collectively offering this opportunity to sign up for fresh local food on a weekly basis. That is a different kind of way to reach your target customer. I've also seen models where people will either operate their own agritourism entity or collaborate with a neighbor. And that's a great way to sell a lot of hamburger, is to fry up hamburgers at an agritourism operation. There is seasonality to all of this stuff. And so markets just vary a lot. So really helping the farm think through who is your target customer. And then a lot of people, they have this vision that's, I love agriculture. It's full of really optimistic, entrepreneurial people. But as the economist, I like to think about what is the plan B? So what are you going to do if you can't sell everything? Let's just talk about the worst case scenario for a minute, and really think through the farm's ability to absorb losses and carry inventory and have a backup plan. That's kind of like the big area where I start of just like, how feasible is this from a financial perspective, from a labor perspective, and from a, have you actually identified customers who are interested in your idea at the price that you need them to be interested in it?
Yeah, you brought up a lot of great points that bring up a lot of follow-up questions. So you mentioned agritourism. Is that something you've seen producers have a lot of success with? Obviously, you've spoken a lot in terms of beef producers, and a majority of the folks who are listening to this will be in that sector. The agritourism thing, I think, can sound really scary, but so many people have success with it. What's your experience with the producers you've worked with?
It varies. So during the pandemic, I think a lot of people entered agritourism, and they had a lot of success because people were looking to do things outdoors, and a lot of the competition for entertainment was closed, right? So that was a little bit of a golden era to experiment with agritourism in my mind. I'll go back to sort of your farm location. Your neighbors, how far are you from the highway? How far do people have to drive on gravel, if at all? Your ability to promote with signage. And also, the farms that are interested in selling at a farmer's market or opening their farm to the public through agritourism activities, they need to be thoughtful about who in the farm business is the people person who really likes dealing with the public. And I pick on farmers markets, but it's true of sort of any kind of direct to consumer marketing. It's just the farmers market is the very like in your face, you're coming face to face with customers. But successful farms have, through extended family members or close friends, they have people with different skills. And people who are looking to diversify into some of these areas need to ask themselves, who on the farm is a people person? Who's willing to do a lot of consumer education customer education, customer service. There's a lot. There's a lot of work to be done in that space.
Yeah. So something else you mentioned was the kind of the cooperative mindset as far as working with neighbors and maybe creating a product together that you couldn't have created on your own. How do you guide producers through that kind of thinking outside the box, or what kind of ideas have you seen come through those conversations that, typical producers may think, well, I never thought of that, but that may work for us.
Sure. The C extension of the community supported agriculture model beyond a single farm has been an interesting development. It's kind of also morphing into what's being called food stops, which are off-farm retail locations that are kind of collectively supported by multiple producers are bringing their product to this retail location. It may be open only once a week, and they're just trying to share the risks and the expense of reaching customers, right? So I can't afford to rent a retail space on my own, or I don't really know enough people for a CSA, but the vegetable farmers that have started working with livestock producers in our state been a benefit. Tell their customer, we can also offer you pork or eggs or fresh milk. Like, are these things attractive to you? Let us help you fill a larger portion of your refrigerator each week than just your vegetable produce drawer. So that's been a really interesting collaboration. And the farm stops are really new. So what's interesting there is for the producer that is not, they don't have the space or the personnel to sort of offer like retail sales, and they can't afford to set up their own place in town. And, organizing like a delivery route is also just maybe they're not there yet. They can test the market for local products by selling through either a neighbor's agritourism store. A lot of farmers Missouri buy from other farms to stock their store at the farm. The idea is it's a chance to expose largely an urban audience to the farm experience, and there's a lot of those customers that are highly interested in buying local. So let's not limit them to just what I produce. Maybe I don't produce any jams or jellies or salsas or meat, but I can, if I work with my neighbors, now I'm offering this additional way to get people to stay, to come to my farm, to come to my agritourism, and to leave like with value, right? So we've had a fun experience as a family, and we've also bought some groceries to go back home with. And a lot of that is sort of that critical mass that happens. So it's hard for one producer to do everything well, but if you can find a couple of other producers that have their specialization areas together, you can package a very nice set of products.
Yeah, I like that concept too, because I think as a producer myself, it seems like to get bigger, to see that growth, to gain that profit, it feels like you have to input so much more, which of course costs a lot of time and money. And it seems like kind of what you're saying, and I'm sure a big part of your role in the value-added space is to help producers be better stewards of what they already have and making the most out of those resources. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. I've worked with producers who've been trying to like process a jarred product, various products that have multiple ingredients. And they felt like they needed to make all those ingredients themselves, like grow them from scratch. But we realized they were losing money. Like it just, they weren't good at growing all of those things. And in fact, talking to neighbors, started outsourcing a couple of key ingredients to a neighboring farm that was already growing that stuff at a larger scale, had figured it out, and was successful. And both farms won at the end of the day because the first farm could focus on what they were good at, and they were able to start selling that product at a profit before they were actually selling that product at a loss. But they didn't know because they weren't tracking all of their production expenses.
Yeah. So what do you recommend as far as someone who's listening to this and saying, I really think we need to look into maybe working alongside of our friends and neighbors? Can they reach out to you? Do they need to, get more active in their community? What does that look like?
Well, a lot of producers, in my experience, are often very willing to others to share their mistakes to help people avoid their mistakes. There are some who are highly competitive, but I encourage people to get involved in their local ag organizations, whether that's their local cattlemen's or farm bureau. Where are the active farmers that the like-minded farmers that are willing to try something a little bit different. And it can also be, in my experience, a lot of times we don't talk about maybe some of our weirder ideas in agriculture because maybe we've gotten made fun of in the past by some friends and neighbors. So certainly there's a lot of things that are available on YouTube these days. But there's somebody out there who's probably tried to do what it is you're thinking about doing. You need to find those people. Connecting with your extension service through your state land grant organization is also something I highly encourage. So producers in Missouri could absolutely reach out to me. And I have many other colleagues, here in our state, as do the other states. Every state looks a little bit different. But you can learn a lot by talking to others who have been there and done that. And again, it's a great low-cost opportunity to really see how well do I understand the challenges ahead and how prepared am I? I always recommend farm visits too, so don't just talk to somebody on the phone, but get on farm with them, if they're willing to do that with you and spend the time with you, because depending on where you are and where you're trying to go, it can be really hard to sort of see around all the obstacles, and prepare to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mallory, this has been incredibly insightful. Do you have any other final comments for anyone who's listening that, like I said, might really be having their wheels turned by this conversation?
Well, I want to leave with some optimism. I think it can be hard. Markets are always changing. Policies are changing. There can be a lot of uncertainty. One of the reasons I like value-added agriculture is that when done well, a producer can have a little bit more control over the prices that they're selling their products at. You just have to make sure there is somebody out there who's willing to accept those prices before they invest a lot of time and resources in creating them.
Great note. Well, thank you again, Mallory, for your time.
Thank you.